Victorian 27-hour podcast challenge on Fubar Radio.
Hello, it's 11, 4 minutes past 11.
Yay! Yay!
This is the Fubar Radio Presents the Geekatorium's 27-hour podcast challenge podcast for Comic Relief podcast.
Yay!
Podcast. Yeah.
My name is Paul Gannon.
And I'm Eli Silverman.
And I'm Richard Sandling.
And we are performing like monkeys for you.
That was exciting, wasn't it?
It was. Hound. I think he's going to come back as well and say hello once we've figured out what damage he's going to be doing for his body for charity.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Not the balls.
Not the balls. That is the hashtag to use, not the balls. This is our 27-hour charity fundraiser. Try and raise money for Comic Relief. If you'd like to donate money, and please do, we are basically here on this giving page. Please. Donate to this. It's my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. That's GEEKATORIUM27PODCAST. Tell us about the Twitter stuff, Sandling.
Well, Twitter is a very interesting, relatively new invention in technology.
Oh, good.
But if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow, Fubar Radio, at Fubar Radio, which is very good. They'll be tweeting and stuff. And we're tweeting, our hashtag for this event is hashtag 27hourpod, which is hashtag 27HRPOD. Or if you want to type, if you want to search, text us or tweet us, I should say, hashtag 27topic, that'll give us things you want us to talk about.
And we'd like topics. That
we'd
would be
like
good.
Topics.
What I thought we could do to start this hour off is play a little bit of a Trivial Pursuit.
Okay.
I've got literally the most trivial of Trivial Pursuit. It's called Celebrity Trivial Pursuit.
Celebrity Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, let me just have a look. Got it.
I am all over it.
It's in my box.
I'm going to own you.
All right.
Well, you saw how good we were earlier with celebrities when Stephen was on, so yeah. This is going to be incredible.
I have basically four games we're going to spread out and replay throughout the night. Obviously, the King, we've got this Trivial Pursuit Celebrity Edition.
Brilliant.
We have a game called Keep On Humming, which is, you know, a humming game.
Is that just where you just have to hum for as long as you can? I mean, that could last a good 3 or 4 hours.
You know what? I'll tell you what the blurb says on the back of this very box and see if you make that decision. It is a riot watching and listening to the creative ways we all hum tunes. No.
Yeah.
Even if on occasion they are hum recognisable, that's a word they've created. Each team must perform and guess the tune that is being hummed. The rules to keep on humming are simple. No la la la's or do-do-do's, no singing or talking, and don't forget the golden rule, your lips are sealed. So we can play that at some point. I also have this, which I think is fucking amazing. It's Top Trumps, right? We've all played Top Trumps. This is Top Trumps Kings and Queens of Comedy.
Brilliant.
So these are all acts who have been judged and made accountable by Top Trumps law. So we can play Top Trumps comedians and just to give you an idea of what comedians are on this. We have Billy Connolly.
Course,
obviously.
Course.
We have Stephen Fry.
Brilliant.
Obviously. Tommy Cooper.
Fantastic.
And for some reason Miranda Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank Carson.
Did Stephen Fry do stand up comedy at any stage?
Well, no, it's not really stand up, it just says Kings and Queens of Comedy.
Okay,
so
fine.
We can cut them a bit of slack. Apart from James Corden, who
you're not gonna cut.
He's
him
an actor. He does comedy.
He's a comic actor.
Don't seem as you think he's gonna make a decent talk show host?
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it.
Well, you can't watch
imagine.
It,
imagine.
I could download it if I want. It was so felt.
And then Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
So we can play Top Trumps or we can do this. So I reckon we have a little bit of a Trivial Celebrity Pursuit, if
okay.
That's all right.
I'm up
yeah.
for this.
All right. So this is a competition between me and Eli as to who's the best at Trivial Pursuit Celebrity Editions.
We'll play Lightning Round, right, where what happens is I'll pick a card. We'll go through the questions. The number of you get right per card win. Yeah.
Okay.
So five questions. Want to get to the most right. So, Eli, can I go
terribly
first?
Embarrassing.
I'll go first. Sure.
All right. Here we go. Card. Oh, six questions.
Just to make sure we don't see the answers.
I am holding the Trivia Pursuit card in the legally established way.
Good.
Of pressing it against your fingers and palm.
So don't want to have to go all Reykjavik, comma, Iceland, full stop on you.
Yeah, don't please do that. It's bang out of order. Okay. So ready, Eli?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I think there's a timer in this, so we can make
it. We don't need a timer, we just need to answer the questions.
No, I want a timer. I've decided upon a timer, and that's what's happening. I don't know how long the timer is. Probably a minute. Ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Go. Question number one. Who was blown into the headlines by Divine Brown?
Hugh Grant.
Correct. Which singing actress was said to about to marry Ben Affleck and then didn't?
Jennifer Lopez.
Is correct. The next question is, who comforts a suicidal Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction? You haven't got much time left. You can pass.
I pass.
Okay. Who went on to front INXS after being the voice of a doll who sang Jingle Bells? If you get this, you just win full stop. Oh, no, it's an easy question.
Michael Hutchence?
Yeah, I didn't know that. All right, cool. And which pop star of Heartbeat appeared in the margarine commercials as a child?
Nick Berry.
Yes. And how old does Tara Palmer Tomkinson claim she was when she lost her virginity? 15, 17, 19 or 21?
15.
I read that upside down. That's not the right answer. It's 21, but I read it as 12. So, the time's just out. So you got 5 out of 6.
I got 4, actually, didn't I?
Did you?
Which one? You didn't get Tara Palmer.
I didn't get Tara Palmer. And also, I passed on...
What, Glenn Close? Who confronted the suicidal
I'm desperate
Glenn.
To know.
The answer was Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
in the film Basic Attractions.
Yeah, I knew he was in that film, but I thought maybe there was someone else who comforted her in that actual film.
No, that is a very good point.
That's why I thought it was like a more... the question was complicated.
Yes.
By what? My lack of
understanding.
Well,
such as like the INXS question, which the question is, who's the singer of INXS?
Yeah, that's the easy way of putting it.
But they just put something else in there, and you think, oh...
All right, so Sandling, are you now ready?
I was born ready.
I think this is a minute. It's got to be a minute, right? I just don't know. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, cool. Which disgraced Tory MP made an additional few pounds opening festivals of erotica with the help of his wife? Or you can pass.
Pass.
Okay. Which Men Behaving Badly star was once an item with Rowan Atkinson? I'll give you a clue. Quack, quack.
My brain just got no pass.
Okay, next question. Which character did Sylvester Stallone premiere in First Blood?
Rambo, John Rambo.
Yeah, correct. Which US president is said to have been a very heavy drinker until his wife made him become a teetotaler?
Abraham Lincoln.
No. What job did Holly Valance do from early childhood that paid for a house before she was 17?
Modelling.
Is correct. And finally, which leader of a country reportedly enjoys reading Barbara Cartland novels in his tent?
Saddam Hussein.
No. Oh, you got 3 out of 6.
You got 2. You can't count. As well as not being able to speak properly, you literally have basic numeracy issues.
I like the fact that I do terrible on a quiz and it's somehow Paul's fault.
Yeah.
Paul's the bad guy.
I can't fault him on that. Okay, so I'll give you the answers. Which disgraced Tory MP made a few pounds opening festivals?
Neil Hamilton.
I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
Mm. Which Men Behaving Badly star was once an item with Rowan Atkinson? That was Leslie Ash. That's why I went quack quack, because duck face, you had the lip collagen.
Yeah. Oh, good clue. I kept thinking of Howard the Duck, who keeps popping up.
Fair enough. Which president was a teetotaler after being a drinker?
Jimmy Carter?
No.
George W.
Double a Bush. And which leader of a country reportedly enjoys reading Barbara Cartland? That is Colonel Gaddafi.
Right, I'm going to take you on now.
All right, go on. Here's a bunch of questions.
Have I got to read them for you?
You've got to read them, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But no, but yeah.
You keep it against the clock.
It's a whole new match. So I have to go first again now.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Just tell me when to start the time.
There's no point in the time.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, cool. Shut up.
Which, ready?
Yeah.
Which brand of fizz made the secret lemonade drinker popular?
Schweppes.
No, it's my turn to answer the question.
I thought he was asking me.
No, he's asking me.
All right, then. What is it?
R. White's.
Yes. Who was engaged to Jennifer Grey and Winona Ryder, but not at the same time?
Keanu Reeves.
No. Which movie sees Mel Gibson coming to the rescue of the last members of a civilization in a fort besieged by an army led by Humongous?
I'm glad you took these questions, Dan.
Braveheart.
No. Whose clients included Mr. Blobby before she dropped PR to marry an HR?
Sorry, read that again, please.
Whose clients included Mr. Blobby before she dropped PR to marry an HR?
What's her name? The tampon lady. Camilla Parker Bowles.
No.
Tampon lady.
Which former member of the Ugly Rumours pop group has been accused of sucking up to George W. Bush?
Why are they so hard now?
I don't know.
I can't. I pass.
Which Cornish town had Rick Stein been credited with putting back on the map?
You know, silent.
It's an Austell.
No.
Oh God.
So you got one.
Oh, one.
Johnny Depp was engaged in If a Grown Owner Rider.
So I was about to say that.
Mad Max 2.
Mad Max 2.
Sophie, Countess of Wessex, was the
brother. Yeah, would never have got that.
Tony Blair was the sucking up to George Bush person.
Yeah.
And Padstow. So you've got to get one, Paul, to win.
He's got to get two to win, one to draw.
That's true.
That is true.
But for Paul, one would be a win.
One is going to be a win.
Which brother of a US president brought fleeting fame to the town of Chappaqua-Cadwick.
Sorry, we'll say the question again.
Which brother of US president brought fleeting fame to the town of Chappaqua-Cadwick?
I don't know.
No. Whose wedding to Kiefer Sutherland was cancelled after the invitations had been popped in the post?
Don't know.
Which movie hears Ripley ask a severed haired Ash, can you hear me?
Aliens.
No.
Ooh.
Who became
one
of
it's
the
Aliens.
Yeah,
bollocks. But you're wrong. You're wrong.
Became...
I have a list. I have a list. You need to get at least one to save face here.
Who became one of the West End's top impresarios after playing Betty Turpin's illegitimate son on Coronation Street?
The actress's name.
Actor.
Actor's name. Betty I don't know.
Who brought another fleeting fame question to Gordon Bleeping Ramsay before he went on to a catering? What brought fleeting fame to Gordon Bleeping Ramsay before he went on to a catering college?
Football.
Yes. Whose revealing display at the Super Bowl was reportedly described by Justin Timberlake as a wardrobe malfunction?
So what was the beginning of the question?
You know, he's going to win.
Whose revealing display at a Super Bowl final was reportedly described by Justin Timberlake as a wardrobe malfunction?
Janet Jackson.
He wins.
Suck it, you dirty fairy bastard.
Oh,
Edward,
I got angry.
Edward Kennedy was the president's brother. Julia Roberts was going to marry Kiefer Sutherland.
I didn't know that.
It was Alien. Bill Kenwright played Betty Turpin's illegitimate son in Coronation Street.
And he's an impresario now.
Yeah, Bill
is
Kenwright.
Oh. I don't know. I can't think of the name. What did he play? Was he the guy who was in like
Dick Turpin?
Oh fuck it then. So Eli, do you want to ask us two questions and then that's another
then
2 minutes worth of killing time?
Just don't call it killing time. It's not even midnight.
So if you win this, you'd be the grand champion.
Would it? Is that how it works?
Otherwise,
it's a stalemate.
Otherwise, it's a stalemate.
All right. Okay. Hit me with it.
Okay, now I'm going to select a card.
Yeah, this is very exciting.
Here we go. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Paul, these are for you. What was the name of Bob Carroll G's punk puppy puppet?
Spit the Dog.
Correct.
Yeah, it was fucking correct. I know my shit.
Well, it says spit on the card, so just don't get feisty.
He said spit the dog. I'm only saying what Carroll G's, the master, would have called him.
All right, whatever. Which Beatle surname did Liam Gallagher give to his son?
Probably fucking John or Lennon. Lennon.
Yeah,
John isn't the surname. Could you be a bit more sort of rigorous with your answering, please?
Started already.
Okay, two. You've got two so
Thank
far.
You.
You're doing well,
Thank
but just
you.
Please fucking answer using English. okay, which movie hears Eliza screaming at a horse to move its blooming arse?
Liza. My Fair Lady.
Correct. Which politician's first contact with his future wife was when they passed a balloon between each other's knees in a party game?
Which politician?
Which politician's first contact with his future wife was when they passed a balloon between each other's knees in a party game?
I can see his face, but I can't think of his name.
I'm going to have to press you.
Ooh.
Shut up.
I don't know. Pass.
Pass. Which Matrix star was a former pasta store manager? That's a funny phrase, isn't it?
Which
a pasta store?
I
call it a spaghetti shop myself.
Yeah.
But,
so what actor?
Which Matrix star was a former pasta store? Pasta store? What the fuck is that?
I'm just going to say Keanu Reeves.
And you'd be right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is the better known name of Henry Charles Albert David Windsor? Henry Charles Albert David Windsor.
Is that one more time?
Henry Charles Albert David Windsor.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Sorry,
Henry
Charles
Albert David Windsor.
One more time.
Fuck you.
It is Elton John.
I'm sorry, you lose all 5 points.
No, I don't lose 5 points.
No, you don't. It was Prince Harry, you twat. But you've done very well. You got Spit the Dog, Lennon, My Fair Lady.
And I got more, right?
What did you say for The Politician?
He couldn't think of one.
I couldn't know.
Only got three. Three out of six.
Oh, right, I'm happy with that.
The Politician was Tony Blair.
Oh, switch.
Okay. So, pretty good score there.
I can do this, guys.
You can do this, and we want you to, because otherwise Paul is going to be the champion of this particular set.
Three to stalemate.
And no one wants that.
No one wants that.
It's better to win games than have friends.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Who played the bank secretary on the Beverly Hillbillies, but is much more famous for being murdered by Charles Manson gang?
Sharon Tate?
Boom. Yes.
Literally boom.
I'm sorry, that wouldn't fly if fucking, you know, Bob Olness on Blockbusters went, boom, got it right.
Yes, but we're living years after that now, Paul. Okay. Next question.
Yes.
Which rock star is the daughter of former Blue Peter presenter Janet Ellis?
Sophie Ellis Baxter.
Correct.
Rock star? Pop star.
Yeah. Rock and pop, it's the same section in HMV, isn't it? What song does the computer Hal sing as he's turned off in 2001 A Space Odyssey?
I can't remember. But,
I'll give you a clue.
Is it Thus Spake Zarathustra?
No, that's the theme tune.
I know, but I thought it might just be a nice callback.
Think of Flowers.
Oh, I don't worry about it, let's move on.
Okay, pass. Which Welshman inspired Kevin Costner to leave marketing and become an actor? Welshman.
Anthony Hopkins.
No.
Why not?
That's how I thought it was as well, but it's not.
Richard Burton.
It is, yes, yeah. But you're wrong.
I know.
Who went from model girl to the star of The Boyfriend? Who went from model girl to the star of The Boyfriend?
I can't remember that. I don't even know what that is.
No, neither do I. Pass.
Pass.
Which Blues Brothers star was engaged to Carrie Fisher?
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's drawn.
Oh, that's it.
Sudden death.
No, it's all. We're all square. We all won one, and we all lost one.
No, but you two drew there.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got to do sudden death so you can.
Yeah,
win.
Sudden death.
All right. Who wants to go first or sudden death?
You have to.
All right, so what the sudden death rules apply in this case?
You get one, and if you get it right, if you get it wrong,
it's like a penalty shootout. Yeah,
all right, okay. So I tell you what we should do then, to make it fair, I'll roll this dice, and whatever colour comes up, that's the question you ask us.
Okay. Brilliant.
All right, so you can't just pick and choose. Right, here's the first one. Blue.
Blue.
You ready?
Yeah.
Whose unwelcome attention brought fame to Desiree Washington? Paul?
I don't know.
Okay, Richard, for the whole match?
Do I have to? No, I don't get. Do I get the same question?
No, you get a different question.
Is it just if he gets his question wrong, I get the question? Isn't that
that's
the answer?
Right. Okay, that's right.
Just roll me a dice.
The answer was Mike Tyson's.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right, next one.
Oh,
green.
Green. I like the ready? Sound effects, so it's we know nice. There's definitely a dice here.
Are you ready, Richard?
Yes.
Who appeared in the soft porn movie Sizzle Beach before hitting the big time in Sherwood Forest?
Well, I would have known that before the Sherwood Forest. That's Kevin Costner.
Oh,
boom!
Oh, Sandling wins!
Sandling
is the winner.
Do you have anything you want to say as a winner?
Spike it!
27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Good, that was good. That killed some time.
That did kill some time, didn't it? Hey! Games!
Okay, that was the half hour one, was it?
Yeah, that was the half. So it's nearly 25 past 11. We're nearly at the midnight hour.
The witching hour. Is that when I'm going to go out? And
I'm thinking around 1 or 2 we'll start getting spooky and doing ghostly stuff.
Yeah.
Because we believe we have our guest Ash Frith coming along around 2 o'clock to get involved with the late night chat, and he's going to bring some games and stuff. Hopefully, he's currently doing a gig with Christian O'Connell.
I think so. Yes.
I believe so.
Christian O'Connell is a radio DJ. Am I wrong?
He is. Yeah.
He's also a stand-up comedian.
Oh, did he start with stand-up? I never knew that.
I'm not sure, but he's very good.
He's gotten back into it.
He's really good. Sickening.
Yeah, sickening. All
know,
these
people who like do one thing they're really good at, and then they go, actually, you know what? I'm also a stand-up comedian. Yeah. And you go, oh, and you're really good. Brilliant. No, I'm really happy for you.
Yeah,
you're
lovely.
Brilliant.
Love it.
All
love
right, then.
It.
Here's a topic I want to talk about then. Let's talk about Leonard Nimoy. Because we're recording this on the, well, as it stands, still the 27th of February 2015. And news came in before we started that the actor who played Spock and Spock, died. Leonard Nimoy died today.
And William Bell and on William Fringe, Bell. Let's not forget that.
He's well known. He's best known for Spock, obviously, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was one of these guys, wasn't he, who at first hated being associated with Spock because he was beginning to get typecast as kind of weird, you know, distant.
But then he embraced it.
Well, of course he did, because in that kind of window between, like, the late 60s and the mid-70s before the film came out, there weren't comic cons, and it was all, like, Adam West famously, after Batman years all faded away, was doing, like, opening supermarkets and really dodgy kind of crap shit, so...
So you're saying that his career lulled and then took off again when that, when Next Generation basically came out?
No, yeah. No, when the films came out, the...
The films, it was in the 80s, right?
Well, he directed stuff, didn't he? You know, he's a director. Yeah. He directed Three Men and a Baby.
I didn't... Oh,
yeah,
did he?
Yeah, Nimoy directed that.
That's a strange thing for him to direct.
And, I'm not sure which Star Trek films he directed. He directed four, didn't he?
He directed three and four, I believe. Yeah.
Five was Shatner, wasn't it?
Yeah, and six was Nicholas Meyer, who did Wrath of Khan. They brought him back.
You know what I loved Nimoy in?
Go on.
Is the Donald Sutherland Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
No, yeah,
he's so brilliant. He's not briefly in it. He's one of the main characters.
That's one of the best... that's one of the few remakes I'll allow...
Yeah, it's fantastic film. Donald, absolutely fantastic film.
I even
film.
Like the Able Fryer version.
Yeah, that. I love that. And Nimoy's character has his thinking glove that he puts on. Do you know that?
A thinking glove.
He literally has a thinking glove. He plays a psychologist.
It's like a smoking jacket, but for thinking.
Yeah, he puts his glove on and then he considers.
Considers.
I want to get
what.
The fact that he's an alien. Oh, spoiler alert. But anyway...
And that would have been before the Star Trek film came out, because that was 78, wasn't it? Star Trek 79, isn't it? If I remember the first Star Trek motion.
Yeah, but I mean, he was just... But he plays it brilliantly.
Thing,
so it's not like, you know, he's not like Spock.
That's
like
what
a
I mean.
Character.
He was doing like proper acting, and then they just, you know, brought Star Trek
the
back.
The problem is, now that he's dead, who are they going to bring into the new Star Trek film to legitimise that fucking franchise? Because that's seemingly what Spock was for those two films. He was brought in to say, this is still Star Trek, even though it's really not Star Trek. It's still married to it, but not quite. See, what I like Nimoy for, and I had to check the name for this, is a TV show he did called In Search Of in America in the 70s. And it was one of those 14 times kind of shows with, like, This Week.
Oh, he presented it?
Yeah, he presents a great one on ghosts. Obviously, I'm obsessed with ghosts. And his one was all him walking around, you know, ancient manor houses in England awkwardly in a nice 70s suit, pointing to basically saying, ghosts may not exist, but maybe they do. And then we'd cut to a different scene of someone telling their story and all the Stone Tape theory stuff. It was a great show. I mean, in terms of Americans, they love that stuff. You know, they really loved the whole... Before the internet ruined it for everyone. All those Yeti and
all really good cameras.
Yeah.
Not as many alien abductions or alien UFOs caught on camera since photography's become really, really good.
Yeah, no.
And the interesting thing about alien abduction is that it has a very similar starting point to... fairies.
Yeah.
Before aliens and, you know, the bright lights, the disappearing the cornfield stuff, the corn rings, that was all stuff that was originally associated with fairies at the bottom of your garden, and elves and things, and then it was like it all became aliens.
So that, what that suggests is there's some kind of phenomena.
Do 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 do.
That
didn't
what?
What? Didn't
what?
Didn't what was the Dan Aykroyd? Was it Psy Chronicles or something that he used to host?
God, no, he.
It was like a fictitious, like a dramatisation of possibly true things that he would do. The sort of top and tail.
Let me Google this.
Yeah,
and find out. Aykroyd.
Also,
crazy people happening things. This may be true. Maybe it's not true. We can possibly say, but I believe this.
He does believe stuff, doesn't he? Nimoy also had a single out about The Hobbit, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins, the greedy little hobbit in the light.
I'd love to possess that on 7-inch single. I'd pay £6 or £7 for that.
I'd pay, you know, I'd definitely download, I'd definitely torrent that.
Nimoy.
I think I've got that album somewhere, but like sort of a CD, you know, like a sort of copy of a CD.
Okay. Yes, it's a true novelty.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you like, you know, you sort of feel compelled, like you've got to have Brent Spiner's old Yellow Eyes Is Back album, even though you're probably never going to listen to it more than once.
You
and
have
even then, not all the way through.
You do possess some truly awful records.
I do.
Don't you?
We had one of our live shows. We had a Who Has the Worst Record Off.
It's something I think we should. Repeat.
Well, we can do that in a little bit. Yeah, we've got some stuff we can play.
I've got some bad records with me.
If I'd have thought, well, tomorrow night, because we've got I don't know if my 7-inch is bad. I've only got really bad records. Like I've got, you know, I've got Paul Gascoigne's album.
Oh yeah, oh. this player, that'll play
12 inches. Oh,
yeah.
I'll bring some 12 inches and I'll bring some terrible records in tomorrow night.
Brilliant.
So what are our feelings on Leonard Nimoy's death, Dan? I mean, obviously
I think it's quite sad.
No, obviously it's sad. I'm not expecting anything.
What do you think? I'm delighted.
Yeah. At last, my nemesis.
You think Shatner's going, yeah.
No, of course he's not.
I outlasted him. Oh, I'm Shatner.
No.
He hasn't, because Takei's still about, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, and Michelle Nichols.
Yeah, so...
Whose brother was part of the, I think, the Waco. Oh, no, not the Waco. It was, you know, the guys who wanted to go up in a spaceship. There was a cult, they all took the juice and the poison.
Yeah.
Michelle Nichols' brother was one of the guys in that. No. Oh, there you go. I don't know how I got...
Small from... world.
Small world. Jonestown Massacre, is that what you're
yes,
talking about?
Yes, I think that's the... I mean, double check.
I got a video of Shatner and Nimoy when they do, I think it's their first convention appearance together. I think it's called like 25 years off the ship or something. It's basically them at a convention having a chat, like Shatner and Nimoy. It's like 90s. It's before Next Generation comes out because it's about to start. So they're doing like a convention. It's really good.
We got another sponsor.
Woohoo!
And this round of applause for Daniel Marshall for sponsoring us today.
Daniel Marshall!
Thanks, Dan.
Just picking another one out of the ether like that. So thank you very much.
Do you think
much.
We're going to hit our target, Paul?
I hope so.
Well, where are we now? Can you reveal
I'll
that?
I'll tell you what we are standing at right now.
Drum roll.
This is very exciting.
£125.
£125.
That's not too bad,
is
it?
It's not too bad, 300 and something to go.
Well, we're only 4 hours in, not even.
I can feel it already.
I'm feeling the joy de vivre spreading through my lower body.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I tingle where one shouldn't tingle.
Shall we use this time to get the vinyl out and play some bad tracks?
Shall we get some vinyl out?
Yeah, let's just sort that out now.
Okay. Yes. Well, look.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge. Raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
That was a jingle.
That was a jingle.
Where did Eli go?
He's trying to find his bad vinyl.
Yeah, because we've got a little vinyl player. Because in the Unclickables podcast, one of the things that me and Eli like to do is that we like to go through the bargain basements of charity shops, thrift stores, you know, all that kind of stuff, and pick some really juicy, maybe obscure, bad vinyl. And we put the audience to the test, and they get to vote which one's the worst. So what are you thinking of?
Well, we've been talking about Star Trek and the sad passing of...
Star Trek!
Across the universe.
Mr. Nimoy.
On the Captain Enterprise, on the Captain
Kirk. So this is a record that's based on a sci-fi character.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
Now, for our hipster listeners and people under the age of, I don't know, 20, a vinyl... Is what are you?
Oh, they know.
Hipsters,
they
all
know.
About. What are you talking about?
It's all about vinyl.
They know.
They especially know "Rumours" by Fleetwood Mac.
You're obsessed with that.
No, they love it. Seriously, they absolutely love it. The amount of times people have asked me for "Rumours" by Fleetwood Mac, not even like requesting a song, put something off "Rumours," and I go, "No, it's shit. I hate that record." And they go, "You're insulting my very being." And I say, "Get off the fucking stage." So
tough on hipsters, really? Tough on the causes of hipsters.
Exactly. Right, so
coming in there with their liking music and enthusiasm for things.
Their fucking beards.
and their shirts.
Yeah. And their
boutique pop-up shops.
Socks.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be bashing hipsters till the day I die. So
flippant techno.
That is a great genre. We should spearhead that.
Flippant techno. Now this is a piece of vinyl. E.T. Phone Home.
Oh.
So obviously it's a novelty record cashing in on the huge popularity of E.T., which came out which year? Does anyone remember?
It's 82, 83.
Yeah, well this is from 83. So this is directly cashing in because it's released in 83. The band is Jupiter 8. Featuring,
I love them.
They're my favourite band. That
You've
I've
never
just
heard
of
them.
No,
Jupiter 8 featuring Kitty Woodson.
Of course.
And I remember this from the time.
Do you?
So I was really very pleased to pick this up. And so let's have a little bit. We'll add a little bit.
Yeah, no, we can play as much as we like. We can talk over. We can do all sorts. It's all good.
Well, we have to get it working.
Oh no!
There we go.
All right, we're ready.
Ready.
It should be on. Here we go. It's coming through.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Eli, remind us again just what exactly that was we listened to.
The song was E.T. Phone Home
by
Jupiter 8, featuring Kitty Woodson.
Wow.
I didn't know we were going to listen to all of that, I'll be honest with you. I thought we'd play the first minute of it and then get talking about how awful it was. But no, we got stuck with it because things are happening. I don't want to say anything until it happens because these things fall apart.
So you've got lots of terrible 7-inch vinyls for us to play in there.
I mean, that is truly terrible. It has a nostalgic value for me.
It's just dull.
But there's something about that sort of, you know, the sort of, it's like the monotony of blandness that's quite sort of reassuring, isn't it? It's like the musical equivalent of watching Tipping Point in the afternoon, isn't it? It's just like, this is really bland, but it's sort of, it's almost calming in its blandness.
Well, I've got some really bland. You thought that was bland. Wow. I've got some proper bland stuff here.
Yeah. We'll be picking through this throughout the night, but I think what we should do is, if we're going to play any more bad vinyl, we need to make it more of a feature. We need to chat about it, talk about it, get into the guts of it, and then play them off. We'll do a bit of a competition-y kind of thing.
All right, Paul. Just trying to help, you know?
No, I know. It's all good.
Oh, it's all good, is it? Why were you criticising me, then?
I'm not criticising you.
Yeah, it sounds like criticising. It
sounded a bit like a criticism to me.
Yeah. A little bit of a criticism. Well,
maybe we should remind everyone it's not about 70s, 80s novelty records, Paul. There's actually an important reason we're here.
I believe that is because we are raising money for charity tonight, and that charity, namely, is Comic Relief.
Yeah,
so if you'd like
Relief.
To give money, because people have and people will and people should, because if you'd like to give us your money, please do go to this website my.rednoseday.com/geekatorium27podcast. So that's myrednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast and give us your money.
Even I stopped listening to that.
Oh my god, even I stopped listening to that. I told you we're 3 hours in and already I'm bored of saying that. But go to geekatorium.net, go to foobarradio.com. Download our episodes on iTunes. There's a link on all our websites that you can go in, get involved in, and give us your money.
And I'm online. I'm squat_Betty. You can tweet me or tweet us. Don't tweet Eli. He doesn't really take Twitter seriously.
I can't understand it.
Yeah, I can't
understand it. I go on. I'm like, so what do I do? Where do I look at? What do I look at? You know? It baffles me.
He's replying to everyone. You know what I mean? It's like it's just ridiculous. He's like the Twitter equivalent of the bloke who replies to all.
Yeah.
In an email chain. Or
I don't know what I'm doing. Reply all. Test came back positive. Reply all.
Yes, I am that person. Thanks,
I think
Richard.
Someone online put it quite well. But the idea of Twitter is like it's like putting a message in a bottle and then throwing it into a sea made up completely of bottles with messages in.
Yeah.
And you know, just expecting yours to pop out and be noticed. And
bottles
it's kind
of
true.
Bottles of messages in them written by arseholes.
But my problem with Twitter is it's just people talking at you. You know, by and large, it's people, you talk at people through Twitter. Yeah. There's no real conversation apart from the one moment you send a text to William Shatner and he replies and it's the best day of your life.
Yeah.
Because he spent 30 seconds replying.
Do you remember when we was at that movie quiz and Bruce Campbell retweeted us? Oh, that was so cool.
Oh,
that was so cool.
I interviewed Bruce Campbell a few years ago when he was doing those promotional talk around for Bubba Ho-Tep.
Mm-hmm.
And again, at the time, the musical had just come out. And I think I asked him something like, you know, are you tired of Evil Dead? And he was just like, I just think it's at the end of my life now. And I don't think there'd be much more Evil Dead in my future. And then you think, well, since then, there's been a reboot. And then there's the TV series coming out, Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Very exciting.
I don't know. There's something about an Evil Dead film which says to me, this is going to be edgy and dark and fucked up and weird and I can't wait to see it. But when you say Evil Dead TV show, it takes something away from it.
Oh.
I mean, TV has changed now. I mean, you look at The Walking Dead, it's far more violent than like all the classic Romero stuff, by and large. It's quite full-on and grisly. But I just can't see the core of Evil Dead, the first film.
I do.
I can't imagine that translating well to TV.
Well, it's not going to be the same, is it?
It'll probably more like Army of Darkness, won't it?
Yeah.
It'll be a bit more goofball.
Be funny.
Yeah, that's fine. But I don't know. I just don't see it.
I just want more, you know, I just want more Sam Axe from Burn Notice. That's what I want.
Oh, that's his defining
Chuck
role.
Chuck Finley spin-off series, that's what we want. Chuck Finley.
Did you watch the movie spin-off thing they did?
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it was, you know, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was Bruce. I'll watch anything Bruce. I mean, I literally, you know, will watch anything Bruce Campbell's in. Mm. Like, much to, like, you know, I've got some shit just because, you know. Like, you know, there's things like... I said this like on that before, but you know, like in the Godzilla, the new Godzilla film comes out that came out, and like you find out after the first 5 minutes, it's not a Bryan Cranston film. It just had all these flashbacks to Congo.
Yeah,
because you watch the trailer for Congo, it's all Bruce Campbell. Like, this is going to be brilliant. Bruce Campbell, it's Michael Crichton, it's like Killer Monkeys. Ernie Hudson, I love, and Tim Curry.
Oh.
This is brilliant. It's going to be Bruce Campbell's dead. He's like 3 minutes in, he's dead. And you're like,
and he doesn't even get a death scene.
Doesn't
as
even
well.
Get death. It's just the camera falls over, and he's like, oh my god, what's this?
And lots of CGI monkeys and bad lava.
Yeah.
What film's this?
Congo.
You know, when the whole of Hollywood in the 90s went crazy for Michael Crichton books because of Jurassic Park, so they made everything, and Congo is one of them, which is something about clever monkeys.
It's a really good book. No, like a lot of these, like a lot of these films, like the Michael Crichton book Congo is really good. Because it's one of those things, like, you know, like everyone always talks about in like the Lord of the Rings, like why didn't they just get the eagles to fly it there? But when you read the book, it doesn't occur to you because it's such a contained... You know, it doesn't occur to you because it's not silly when you read the book. But there's some things which, when you make them literal or, you know, visceral...
Visual.
You go, well, that's just silly. And this Congo's on those films that, when you read the book and it's about, like, monkeys who can do sign language and, like, communicate with humans, and then, like, sort of gorillas who are sort of kept as slaves and they've become, like, not human, but they can sort of kill people and... It's quite cool and quite edgy. And you make a movie, and you go, "This is stupid."
What else did they make at that time as well? Didn't they make
a Disclosure?
Disclosure,
which was the sexual harassment one?
Was he Sphere?
Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Sphere
was the one I remember watching.
Yeah, that's another great book. Which is a terrible film.
You know, my favourite Michael Crichton.
Go on,
film.
Go on,
Westworld.
Oh, which they're making a TV Westworld? Out of that.
Runaway.
Runaway.
And that's the Tom Selleck with the killer robots.
Was that Crichton as well?
Yeah, he wrote that or directed it. Did he write Coma?
Yes.
He only directed,
I think, Coma. He wrote as well The Great Train Robbery.
Which is 69,
Which is weird because I didn't even know. I mean, the thing is, 69, he directed that. But was he a novelist first?
Well, he used to write, he did the thing, was it John Lang was his pseudonym?
Yeah.
He used to write under pseudonyms before he was like Michael
Very
Crichton.
Prolific, isn't he?
Because he tried to pitch ER in like the 80s, didn't he? And they didn't like it. So like he's all been trying to pitch that for like forever.
Oh, of course he always is as well.
ER, yeah.
Yeah, Sphere was another one of those films where, again, the concept was amazing.
It's like Barry Levinson and it's like Sharon Stone, Dustin Hoffman, Samuel L. Jackson, is it Kevin Spacey? Or like, I don't know who's in it, but it's like, it's four proper A-listers and like, you know, like it's like probably David Cope wrote it. Probably, you know, it's like... Everything should have been brilliant, but it's just not great.
No. And the thing is, did he write Lost World after the film came out?
Yeah.
And then they decided to adapt that and then absolutely do nothing at all with anything in that book?
Write a sequel where different characters die in the first film than they do in the second.
Like, yeah, so that's right.
In the book, Ian Malcolm dies in the book. And so does Richard Hammond.
Yeah.
Is it
Richard Hammond?
No, not Richard Hammond. That's a guy out of Top Gear.
See, the problem is now I can't think of nothing but Richard Hammond.
It is Richard Hammond.
Hammond, anyway.
Yeah, him. John Hammond.
Mr. Hammond.
Yeah. When you can't remember, just think of Hollywood lore. Nearly every character is called John, unless it's, you know, a better thought out idea.
Yeah.
But I was a big...
Yeah, so there's people who died in, you know, who didn't die in the books, and then they have to sort of do the sequel. And I think Ian Malcolm just goes, yeah, I'm not really dead.
Yeah, it was a scratch. Because who wrote the script for Jurassic Park?
It's David Cope,
And he seems... The thing is, up until a point, there was like every film he wrote, I was a big fan of. He wrote Mission Impossible.
The first one was great.
I loved the first Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And then like you go, oh, he's doing Crystal Skull. It's in sure hands. Yeah. Spielberg,
Of Echoes. This is going to be brilliant. And he's directing it.
Oh, Stir of Echoes is good, though.
Yeah. But it's not, like, great, is it?
No. You know? But that's his kind of thing. He makes good films, apart from Ghost Town. The Ricky Gervais Vanity Project. God, he's a poor bugger as well, in that case. You know, none of his films have been that good.
I don't think he minds.
He's the Steve... Yeah, it's good. He's the kind of Steve Coogan in many respects. And that, you know, people like him. He's popular, he's famous, he's well-regarded within the industry. But when he goes to make his movies...
Yeah, well, it's just... It's a recurring story. People find it hard. British comedians who are huge, find it hard to break the states, don't they? Yeah. Lenny Henry couldn't do it.
No, but that wasn't even his originally. His that
Lee Evans. I mean, Lee Evans was in a lot of.
That was his choice, though. I think he wanted to spend time with his family.
I think he
could have done more.
He did.
Funny, I don't know if that's true, but it's like he did Funny Bones.
Funny
and
Bones
Mouse
is genius, and Mouse Hunt's fucking genius as well. I love Mouse Hunt. That's one of those films where if you just made it black and white, you could easily imagine that have been.
Just when he turns up for like 3 seconds in Fifth Element,
where
he's just like, "We're sending someone in to negotiate." So my favourite bit of the Fifth Element. Like.
I still can't tolerate Fifth Element at all. It really bugs me.
Did you see Lucy?
No.
Oh my God!
Is that the Luc Besson?
Yeah.
It looked like
use 100%
like
of your brain.
It was one of those films where I've not seen it, but everyone. It's the only you sort of go. Everyone whose opinion I trust on impenetrable sci-fi went, not a chance, and I was I was really hoping this would be good. Do you know? I was really hoping this wouldn't be. But then I've not seen it, so it could, I mean, I might watch it and think it's brilliant.
Take it from me.
Yeah, but I frequently watch films that people think are shit and that I really like.
Nonsense.
You know, so what John Carter and Mars.
Yeah, don't listen to Paul. Whatever Paul will say, look, this is quite good, and it will be possibly one of the most unwatchable films. Like, what was that film we watched a few Christmases ago?
Detention.
That sucked.
I love Detention. Detention was a great film because it was exactly what it
was. Detention.
Don't
even bother.
No,
it's fucking shit.
Have you ever seen
this
Talk?
From the man who disses The Shining? Okay, that's what
I
I'm
didn't
saying.
Diss The Shining. Talk. I said it didn't work for me when I watched it recently. I didn't find it scary. It's ponderous and long. And Jack Nicholson can't play a man who goes from sane to insane because he starts off as insane.
That's just not true.
It is. It's like he's far too demented looking to buy the idea.
No, he's not.
He is. He's got a face like an arrow. It's just a point of savage features.
You, my friend.
Yes.
You.
I'm not saying The Shining is a bad film. I'm saying The Shining doesn't work for me as a horror film.
But Detention...
What's Detention?
Detention is a weird, messed up film, which is about... It's complicated. It's like a slasher movie, come science fiction, come time travel, come Breakfast Club, come post-ironic meta 90s deconstruction of youth today, who use 90s
references. Has it got Chris Barry in it?
No.
What's that movie with Chris Barry in it where it's like witches of English?
That was
school.
An online thing. That was
years ago. I don't know why I made me think.
Barry film I can tell you is Tomb Raider and Tomb Raider 2, which I'm sure he put to the top of his CV when he plays Uppity Bouncer. But my point is that I like. I forgot what I don't like now.
Detention. Tell me what Detention is!
Detention is a weird film because it's hard to describe. It's about this girl who's unpopular at school and there's a serial killer. Killing students, but it's complicated because it's
basically,
also about
it's a film
time
that jumps
travel.
The shark in a big way about 5 minutes in and never pulls it back.
No, it's
film total dog shit.
It's not dog shit. I think it's one of these films that years from now people are going to really regard because it so captures the
and
time.
And what was your opinion on John Carter?
It was watchable. I don't like it. I don't care for it. I just thought it wasn't as bad as people said. Yeah.
It was as bad as people said.
No.
It certainly was.
It's just to your taste.
There was like a whole tribe of Jar Jar Binks.
No, I'll give you that.
You know what I mean?
I'll give you that. And the thing is, you know the alien that's his kind of pet in it? You know what I couldn't help but think? It looked like the Moog from Will O' the Wisp all the way through, you know? Is that a reference that the hipsters are going to get, Will O' the Wisp?
As long as you play
rumours.
Why do you
care what hipsters think?
I have got a real big bug in my bonnet about hipsters today.
Why do you care what they think? You seem to like, well, they get that. It's like you hate them, but you hope they're listening. I don't really understand what's going on.
It's a love and hate thing.
He wants to be one.
I do.
The best he could do is be a cutester.
He just thinks it's because he can't grow a beard.
Yeah.
That's all it is. If he could grow a beard, he'd be a hipster.
He'd be a bum fluffster.
Oh, wouldn't aren't you funny? Yeah.
I'm trying. That's the point, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, it is. It's all good. So, all right. Okay.
I feel naked without my cans on.
Well, what would you recommend to me that I should watch to teach me, school me in what good films are?
Listen. I'm not some kind of film school beret wearing twat. Okay.
No.
I like films that are lowbrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Like.
You know, but for Weird Science.
Yeah,
one of my favourites.
But then that comes from. Was it John Hughes who wrote that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
And directed.
Oh. Weird Science.
I love that film.
Who sang the song for it?
Oingo Boingo.
Oh, I thought it was Thomas Dolby.
Ah. That's where you'd be wrong. So don't fucking test me on Weird Science, okay?
I'm just going to check the internet.
Oh, you don't believe me?
No.
It was Oingo Boingo. Anyway.
Awkward.
Awkward. I'm not trying to say I'll teach you. It just
It says Oingo Boingo.
Yes, yeah, it does say Oingo Boingo.
And who was the main guy who behind Oingo Boingo? Who went on to
Danny Elfman?
Thank you. Who I've met.
Wow. Does that win the argument?
No, no. That doesn't. That's not an argument.
That's what Hitler would say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was always saying that, wasn't he?
I'm just saying.
I've met him.
That's literally my anecdote.
Paul,
ends there, though.
All I'm saying
is
you have a strange taste in films.
I agree.
Often.
Bordering on the incorrect.
Yeah. Bordering on the just not right whatsoever.
That all depends on who's there.
That film, Detention, was a proper turkey in the bed.
I disagree. I think that is a classic. Not like a classic, like Casablanca classic. I'm just saying it will bed itself down and be a well-loved film.
Is anybody in it that I would know?
Dane Cook.
Thank you.
Conversation ends. I'm out.
You're not out for another 20-something hours.
Is Dane Cook the American 24. Comedian?
Yeah. He's what, you know, like Dane Cook's one of the people that no one really likes as a comedian, but everyone seems to give him props for when he turns up in a film.
Do you know what film is shit?
Yeah. No, go on.
Men in Black 3. Tried to watch it the other day.
You see, that's again one of these examples where it's not great, but it's better than 2.
Didn't hate it, but it was not.
Wasn't good.
Just like anything with time travel.
I mean, my friend has come up with this whole thing about films. He says there's not bad films and good films.
Mm.
There's boring films and not boring films. And that's the only real distinction. Do you know what I mean?
But it all depends on what you would consider boring, because some people like watching films.
Well, whether it bores you or not, that would be your.
Yeah, but
it
doesn't mean it's got to be fast. It can be slow.
No, no. You know, it's just whether it's boring or not.
Yeah, the most. Die Hard 5 was the most boring action film I think I ever sat through. Where all the way through, I just sat there going, "What does John McClane think he's doing? He gets involved in the whole plot for no other reason that he's got a strop on about his son. He sees his son for 5 seconds being loaded into a van, has a paddy on, nicks a van that he punches a man out of for no reason, and then chases him down a motorway in Russia.
He has a paddy on. Man, you get tired, the Wirral starts to fucking pour out.
It's got a fucking paddy on. But the point being is that none of that. John McClane's role in that film is completely superfluous to the point of him being in it. That plot would have worked out perfectly with just his son doing all the stuff. And I just sat there all the way through going, I can't invest myself in John McClane.
Well, that's because Willis is just bored and tired of life.
Mate, he's a miserable bastard. You see him doing all those red carpet interviews for Red. And, you know, he was given, like, all these, you know, interviewers shit. They were basically just saying stuff like, oh, so how did you enjoy the role? And he's just like, yeah, well, it's the process. I've got to sit here and answer questions from you. Bastard.
So, we're coming up to the hour.
No, we've already got a song clocked in, so you can say that for a little bit later on, your precious final. Don't spill all your precious final out yet. Save it. We've got a lot of time, mate. Don't feel you have to get through it all in one.
So, how long have we done?
Well, what time is it now? It's 5 to midnight.
Ooh. The witching hour.
And so we've got exactly 23 hours left of this. And 5 minutes.
Hard to fathom.
Yeah, how are you coping?
I'm still feeling okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the crack talking.
Yeah, I've done quite a lot.
But how are you doing? Because you get to escape from here for a few hours.
Well, yeah, but I'm driving home. And then having a little bit of a sleep, and then driving to Kent in the morning to do a gig for kids, and then coming straight back here. So, yes, I'm not you know, swanking off in a hotel somewhere.
I didn't accuse you of swanking at all.
I would be here for the whole thing, were it not for the fact that I have to work for a living.
Yeah, well, if you manage your diary better, maybe this wouldn't be an issue in the future. That's all I'm going to say. A professional would manage his diary.
Well, at the same time, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it's a terrible thing that I've got to leave, but I still get to go home and go to bed.
Yeah.
And then come back for the last bit and share in the glory of having done it, even despite the fact that I won't be here for about 9 or 10 hours of the whole thing.
The problem with that is that you're going to come back and go, hey, everybody, and we're like, this is not working.
I'm aware that I'm going to have to come back.
And
basically I'll be in charge of making sure, basically keeping you two from dying killing each other.
Yeah, you will be on ER.
I'm basically sort of taking over the night shift when I come back in.
Right, good. So again, please, We need to talk, so give us topics. Hashtag 27topic at 27TOPIC. Or if you just want a general comment and get involved, hashtag 27HRPOD and just give us a comment. Or donate. We really would love you to donate. Donation is what we're here for tonight, to raise money for Comic Relief. And if you'd like to give us a few of your pounds, I know times are tight and the economy's hard, but when it comes to charity, there's always room in your back pocket for a few coins. Am I right?
There's always room in your back pocket.
Write it down.
For a few
write
coins.
The Gannonism down. Write the Gannonism down. All right, we've
there's
established.
There's always room in your pocket for a few coins.
Yes.
Yeah, no one's disputing that. What you're asking, you're saying there's always a few coins in your back pocket.
Yes.
There's always room in your pocket for a few coins.
Yeah. I'm going to walk away with so many T-shirt designs off this. Holy balls.
Holy balls.
So, yes, please donate.
Give us your fucking money.
Two.
Donate your fucking money.
Yeah. Why did it when you do Bob Geldof? It sounds like some
I'm not doing Bob Geldof. I wasn't doing Bob Geldof.
All right, do Bob Geldof.
Give us your fucking money.
Sounds the same. So it is www.my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. Shut it. Go on.
People who are producing this podcast, that we can see through the window,
yeah.
All seem to be pissed up.
This now sounds like cruelty. Well, we get
they're
to see happy
more fun than us.
They certainly are.
Happy, smiling, they're drinking.
They're laughing.
Nat, the producer's giving me the finger. It's just rude.
What song have we got lined up?
I don't know. Ali's pressing his bum cheeks against the glass now. Oh, he's gone. That's my fantasy ruin then.
What have we got, like, in terms of scheduled guests, who have we got coming up?
Well,
no one.
No one. We have got coming
loads
up.
Loads of people.
We have, yeah, we do actually. And we've got loads of people. Oh, God, none of them have turned up.
Really?
No, that's not true. They're all kind of, we've blocked it. It's all kind of wobbly time. Everything's in flux. So I'm
wibbly
expecting
wobbly
text.
Time.
Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. I think that's the way it goes at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, Ali's back. Bum cheeks on the glass, please, sir. I've envisioned it and I'd like to see it through. But not see it through.
Listen, stop predating him. Our guest before was already on his case.
It's because Ali's proving most popular.
He's pretty sexy.
Yeah, in fact, we will auction him off tonight. if anyone's got a pound, you can do whatever you like to him. Anything. He's sitting there now giving
he's
me the
nodding, he's giving it a big nod.
He's giving me the wanky wanky sign, which I believe means he's offering hand jobs for cash. So if you'd like a hand job and want to donate or just pay him for his time, please get in touch with us. The hashtag is AliWank, and we would like to get on top of that as soon as possible. Right, let's end this hour with a jingle and a song.
The Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge on FUBAR Radio.